T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Drive home with Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier. Weekdays 2 to 6. Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. A Radio.com sports station. This is Patriots Monday on Sports Radio WEEI. Patriots Monday is presented by Ace Ticket, where New England fans go for tickets to all their favorite events. Visit aceticket.com. By Putnam Investments, proud partners of the New England Patriots, and brought to you in part by Gillette, official shave of the New England Patriots.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Everybody thought it was New England, yeah. Kansas City atop the AFC. Be honest, is there another team that's kind of snuck into the conversation past KC?
Yeah, there's another team.
Deshaun Watson puts the Texans in front.
Ooh, there's another team and I'm liking them.
92 yards! Darnold to Anderson.
Defensively, they're stout and they have a running game.
Baltimore has taken their first lead.
It is. The Buffalo Bills.
Oh, come on!
I can dig it!
When we listen to you after a game like Thursday...
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see.
We sometimes hear frustration in your voice.
If you don't learn from things that you have already made mistakes on, I think that is frustration.
Right now.
The defenders of defense.
Maybe think on it first. Sack attack. Not great.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I love it. Like a bye weekend for the New England Patriots, and guess what? They actually got a lot of help out there. A lot of help out there. And guess what? They're going to do it again next weekend. Not going to play next weekend. This is
they're
great.
Not. They're going to play on Monday night. They're going to play the new and improved Jets.
Yeah. Oh, worried about the Jets.
And Kissy Boy, the kissing bandit, Sam Darnold.
Tell you what, Sam Darnold looked pretty damn good.
He did. All
right, pretty damn good. Now, there's you brought this up last year. I'm going to give you credit.
I don't, you were giving me compliments.
Often do this on the program.
Wow, this is true.
And it's hard to do. It's painful for me. But it was right after the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs played a game. Where, what was it, 53-48?
Yeah. Best game of the year.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And everybody,
the future of the NFL.
Exactly. And I took that stupid ass role. Oh, this is the future of the NFL. We're all going offense. And you were the brilliant one on the panel who actually said, it's all cyclical. You know, you were like the old man who was sitting back in the rocking chair
and said,
son, let me tell you, son, I've seen this act before. Yeah. It all comes around. It does.
No.
And that's exactly what it's doing. So if you look at the best teams in the league right now, what are they?
They're San Fran, defense. The NFC. Patriots.
Defense.
How about Buffalo?
Defense.
How about Buffalo?
And what about the offensive minded teams like the Kansas City Chiefs? Oh, not so much. How about the LA Rams with the greatest young coach in the history of mankind?
Yeah, everybody
doing. How they doing?
He's a genius.
I was thinking about that watching that game yesterday. Thinking about all these teams right now, thinking we got to find the next Sean McVay. I mean, look what he's done in a couple years out in LA. Look what he's done. You watched that game last night, and you're like, huh. We got to find a defensive coordinator like that guy out in San Fran. That's what we got to find now, right?
Tell you what. Talk about being cyclical. I'd go out and hire Wade Phillips right now as your head coach. That's who you want.
Yeah.
But that's what we're seeing right now. So defense is occupying the league. Denver, for an example, not a real good football team. But when you play them in Denver, it's a tough out. You know why? Because they play defense. And you were right. I hate to admit
I'm speechless.
Right.
I don't even know what to say.
You were right. And the Kansas City Chiefs have become very one-dimensional. Now, granted, the quarterback is hobbling around there. He's got an ankle injury, and we know he's at his best when he's roaming around and he's throwing on the run, and he can't do that right now. He's become a pocket quarterback. But how about those defense?
So do you
the Chiefs? How about that defense? So, they were awful.
So in back-to-back weeks, the blueprint that was invented by the Patriots, not last year, but really back in 03 and 04, when the blueprint was to stop Peyton Manning, who was the Patrick Mahomes of his day. That was the goal. We're going to run it on you. We're going to play our best defense. Is going to be our offense. So back-to-back weeks, physical running attacks came in to Kansas City where you're not supposed to be able to hear, you're not supposed to be able to do this, and beat the living crap out of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It did, but let's
beat
not get,
the crap out of them.
That was
so,
that was Carlos Hyde.
So what? So okay. What do you mean? So Carlos what if it was Carlos
no, no, no.
Hyde?
The point I'm making is this was not Christian McCaffrey. This was not Nick Chubb. This was not one of your great running backs in the league. This was Carlos Hyde.
Well, that's yeah. And I would say that running the football is not something that Houston's been able to do all year.
No.
Now, their offensive line, I think in that game you're watching it, and I think they said this is like the first time maybe in, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, the offensive line's actually played together, so they're getting a little bit healthier. But they didn't run the ball last week, Houston, with Carlos Hyde. They didn't run the ball the week before with Carlos Hyde. So I wonder if you need a great so-called running offense to run against Kansas City.
So it doesn't have to be a big, physical, classy offensive line with a lot of veterans and guys like the Patriots last year. It could be an average offensive line. Let me see. Kind of like the one the Patriots have.
Yes.
I would say, but I don't know if they're average.
Did you see the holes? Did you see the holes that were open for Carlos?
And what's the other thing that the Houston Texans have that you do not have? And this stood out to me because it's just, I'm a tight end and, it just kind of does. You don't have edge blockers.
No, you don't.
You don't have edge blockers. They have a big. They have that big kid, Daniel
Ben,
Fells.
Ben watching. Ben watching.
Maybe you do now.
Okay, so it's Watson
Ben's
and Izzo.
Ben's
Watson
back.
And Izzo. New dynamic duo. Going to go ahead and change the world. Everything's going to be better now, right? Is that what we're doing?
So who was it? Who had it? Field Yates had it first?
Field
the Patriots re-signed Ben Watson. All right. Yeah. Do we know what the financials are? Is he coming back at that? So much for that cap hit thing, right?
My guess is it'll be a lot less. Second of all, the reason they're doing
much
it
less. I mean,
well, it would maybe half
the
and a veteran minimum prorated based
which is
on
about
the games
which is
he's going to play
half of what he got. But that tells you Lacoste is done, right?
Oh, thanks.
Lacoste.
Well, but hold on. I don't know if it means they needed a roster spot. The fullback Jacob Johnson is on IR, so there's your spot.
So
maybe Lacoste is healthy, and if you're only going to keep two tight ends, then you probably should have a fullback. In which they don't now. So now you're going to keep three.
So do you set Ben in the backfield? Do you do some
I don't know if Ben's into wham blocking and iso blocking.
Say,
I think that's more of an Izzo thing.
I would say this is what I got out of it, is that everyone is flawed. Like we always talk about this before, about the New England Patriots. Defense, we think it could be one of the best we've ever seen from these guys. Offensively, it's very, very concerning. But when you look around the league, I don't know. I don't see a great team. We thought it might have been Kansas City. Defensively, we know that they're really flawed.
Can I give you one?
So it's like, I don't know if there is a great team. So with that, you look at the Patriots and say, everyone's got their flaws, but only one team's undefeated with theirs.
I'll give you one.
And I get it. Their schedule is helping them. Maybe if they played average teams in the league, maybe they would have dropped one by now. I don't know.
I'll give you one. I don't know if you can
learn. But they can handle their flaws better than others.
I don't know if you can learn an awful lot through six games, but through six games, New Orleans has played without Drew Brees, okay? And
System quarterback.
And Teddy Bridgewater's been okay. Let's not get carried away. Okay. He's not been the reason that they're winning. The reason they're winning is their defense. Defense is damn good.
Yes.
So if you now add a healthy Drew Brees with the offensive weapons they have, and if this defense continues to play like this, they're a legitimate threat.
New Orleans.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm just looking around the AFC, though. I get it. We'll see.
No, the AFC?
I still think the NFC's got a lot to be played out. I don't know. You still don't want to give San Fran any credit or you still don't believe in them? I think maybe you should start believing in them because of their defense. I'm talking about the AFC. So if you want to tell me that all of a sudden now Houston's the team you got to worry about, you need to tell me why they're different than years past.
I'm not buying that, Houston.
Well, no, I'm not going to sit there and just because the Chiefs got beat again, okay, suddenly the Houston Texans take their spot. But when I look at what the Houston Texans should have put 40-plus on the Chiefs on the road. They should have. They missed field goals. They missed extra points.
Touchdowns.
Will Fuller dropped a bunch of touchdown passes. Deshaun Watson was great. Outplayed Patrick Mahomes, but he did not get as much support. So, and I would say some of the plays that Patrick Mahomes made where he just threw it up in the air and Tyreek Hill just went up and caught
first
it.
Touchdown.
But normally
that's
not happening.
He's the smallest guy out there. And he popped out of nowhere.
See, that's the thing. Like, that first touchdown, I'm looking at Tyreek Hill saying, absolute freak. I'm looking at Pat Mahomes saying, stupid pass.
Just dumb.
Yeah. I mean, it was double-teamed at the goal line. You just threw it away. That's an interception all day. But you got some guy that can jump out of the building. And it was a great athletic play. But that wasn't a smart play. Oh, Pat Mahomes, how does he do it? Well, he just chucked it up to a guy and made an unbelievable play.
He's got a great vertical leap.
Mahomes credit for that pass.
But it did. But it was striking just how, okay, so if you thought the Chiefs were the team to beat just by the fact that they have a great offense, then I think there's a bunch of teams out there that have the right personnel grouping to beat them.
Yeah, I agree.
If the Chiefs played the Houston Texans again, I would pick the Texans. They didn't do anything. They weren't the beneficiary of some fluke play over maybe some bad calls, but I still don't think that would have made the difference.
Well, there's a lot of teams that can run the ball right through them.
I feel like there's a lot of teams. If you commit to it.
Well, I'm just saying, if you sat there and said, okay, well, how many teams out there potentially can beat the Patriots and have the mix? Well, how many teams can beat the Chiefs and have that mix? Boy, there's a lot of teams that have some backs that can run the football that could just end their day, right? Hell, you talk all you want about Cleveland. You know how you don't believe in Cleveland, but by the end of the year, all of a sudden, they sneak into the postseason. What do you think Nick Chubb does to that team?
Yeah. No, they might sneak in because you know their schedule the second half of the season.
They might win eight straight.
Exactly. But they've got their own issues. But getting back to Kansas City, it's more than just they can't stop the run. So they've got numerous issues here. One, they can't run the football at all. They're not a running team. They have to throw the football. And the other thing is that quarterback, if that's an ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain, is that going to get better? Every time he gets hit, what's going to happen, guys? He's going to re-injure
it. You don't think that was his problem?
Part of their problem. I don't think
they were up 17-0 in a heartbeat, and the Houston came back and just stifled them.
Well, that's because you can slow their pace down. You can keep the ball away from him from exactly what we've been talking about.
The defense is worse than it was last year.
It's
worse than last year.
Well, Hyde coughed the ball up, wasn't it, in their first drive after they got that 7 from Tyreek? And it was 10-0 before you even knew it.
But here's the difference, Christian. The difference is he's been so good, especially escaping out of the pocket, throwing on the run. He can't do that right now. So if you needed a quick 7, I don't care if his defense gave up 7. He'd come back and get 7 right back at you. He can't do that right now. He's not the same guy.
No.
And he doesn't have a running back, so they can't balance anything.
I feel even if he's at 100%, like he was last year, there's too many teams out there that have the remedy to slow them down.
Yeah.
It's like physicality is going to beat finesse every single time. Every time.
Yes, and that's a big part of the good defensive teams in the league right now. So if you go back to the AFC, because I threw an NFC team out there, and there may be a couple of them, in the AFC, I don't see anybody. As much as we look at the flaws of the New England Patriots, and they clearly have them on the offensive side of the ball, where's the team out there? I mean, Buffalo has that defense. I still think they're going to be burned with a quarterback.
If you're going to sit there and look at a team, I would say, first of all, you got to have a young, dynamic quarterback, which the Bills don't have. So they're only going to go so far. They're going to make the playoffs, but they're probably one and done.
They may not make the playoffs because of the quarterback. But go ahead.
No, okay, but
we agree to disagree.
Okay, that's fine. We'll see where they end up. Where they end up at the end of the year. But I look at guys like Houston. Now, we all have this image of Houston because they're Houston. They come up here, they wear their Letterman's jackets, and they never kind of live up to the challenge. But I would say with Deshaun Watson, here's a guy that can, you know, they got the right mindset also. So maybe that game is, I feel like they're a bigger threat than the Chiefs are, because the Chiefs have absolutely no defense. At least the Houston Texans have a middle of the road, maybe top end defense that they can at least, hang their hat on.
Yeah, they do this week. So I'll give it to you this week. They do based on what we saw. But as we know with Houston, once they suffer with a couple of injuries, they don't really have the depth, and it starts falling apart on them. I just don't think there's a real threat right now in the AFC, which lends to the Patriots. Cleveland certainly doesn't look like it. Is anybody fearful of Cleveland 2 weeks from now? They got a quarterback.
They can put two or three
picks a game.
They can put 40 up.
Yes,
but they're probably going to put.
I still think it's way too early to sit there and say, you know, there's no concerns in the AFC. Does Cleveland concern me? Yes. I think they're immature. They're not a very professional club. That's what I think they are.
Not a professional club.
Well, I'm just
saying
they go out and they blow a team out. They start reading the headlines. They're just all emotional and they're loving themselves. Then they get their doors blown out. And then they smarten up and they play a tough game against a good team, I think, at home against Seattle. They still lose that ball game. Right. So I just think that at the end of the year, I think they're still going to be a playoff team.
Talk about
And we don't know what the hell Kansas City is. If he gets healthy, you better be concerned about Kansas City.
The other thing about Kansas City, they're undisciplined. I think they're leading the league now in holding penalties. Just dumb-ass penalties constantly. All right, we get to the phone calls coming up next. It is Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick will join us in the 5 p.m. hour. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Any organization never totally, you know, moves on from a player because you may have a need, you know, but again, whenever that time comes, it's a matter of having some sort of mutual agreement to what's going to happen as far as coming on the roster. So from what I heard from Coach when he spoke to you all, it sounded like we just wait and see. What he told me was that he didn't have a roster spot right now. That doesn't mean he won't tomorrow or maybe he won't at all. I really think that it becomes kind of a need basis, but right now, which is what's tough for us, what's tough for me right now is the fact that there was no place for me to join the team.
So that was Ben Watson with us last week. Ben Watson is back with the New England Patriots, and they found a roster spot. And as to the money and whether it will affect what they can do financially to go and make a deal, if it's minimum salary, and we believe it probably is, with 11 remaining weeks, according to Miguel over at Pat's Cap, that would be $666,000. $666,000. So they saved right there about 1.4, something like that, of what they
not
would
bad
have
for 11 them. Weeks.
Exactly.
Plus, you'll get playoff money, Super Bowl check.
Correct.
So you, I mean,
so there's still money for them to do something. Now, I'm going to bring it up again because people are talking about it because Antonio Brown has now basically said to the league, okay, you're sticking it to me. You know, let's make a decision one way or the other. And we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before, and he's right. It's not fair. Okay, you could sit there and say he's a scumbag, and I think we'll kind of agree with you on that point. But he still deserves an opportunity to have a chance to go and work unless you're going to do something with him. And instead, the NFL is keeping him in limbo. So he's basically saying to the NFL, no other team will sign me because they all think you're going to suspend me.
Yeah.
You're going to put me in the exempt list. Make up your mind.
Well, in other words, if they had suspended him, let's say in Patriots release him, they suspend him through their investigation, suspend him 6 weeks. Right? Now some team can sit there and say, well, he could be available for us to play in week 9. Oh, you know, let's we could sign him. You know, and then know that we will have him in 2 or 3 weeks. But now you're getting to the point where, all right, so I'm going to sign this guy and have him available for week 7, only to find out you're going to put him on a restrictive list, exempt list, so I'm going to keep paying him? It may never come off? Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but why would the – I agree with him that he should sue the league, he should force them to make a decision or one way or the other – so there's like – so, and maybe the league's already doing that, but telling them, hey, listen, this isn't going to happen, but he needs to do it publicly. But if I'm the NFL, why? You just – there's too many opportunities for you to be exposed, to look foolish. If you go ahead and they say, listen, all right, fine, we didn't find anything there. Sure enough, maybe they don't have all the information. Maybe there's a tape that is released. Somehow they're going to end up with egg on their face again. So it's better for them just to avoid it altogether and say, we don't need to do anything.
This case might not be resolved for years. Right? I mean, the civil case. So what are you going to do in the off season? He doesn't have a job. So in the off season, someone's, what, they don't know. He still might be on some exempt list. They might still suspend him. So It's like at some point, dude, you got to, you know, finish your investigation. You interviewed her. Interview me. And let me know what happened. Suspend me.
What would the – because I feel like this is unprecedented. I feel like it's never been done before. So you would want them to interview Antonio Brown and then say, all right, listen, based on our investigation and our interview, we find that he didn't do anything wrong. Well, then you have to admit that he didn't do anything wrong, which clearly he was acting inappropriately, okay, at some level. To me, that's suicide.
But you don't have to do that if you're the NFL.
I hear what you're
saying. See, I think you're right. I think the NFL, this is the best case scenario for the NFL, is to totally ignore the guy. Well, that's not fair. And the Players Association should be jumping all over it. So they interviewed this woman apparently for like 10 or 11 hours, right? This Brittany Taylor. They never interviewed him.
Right.
So why didn't they interview him? They had the opportunity to. Why didn't they?
He had plenty of opportunity now.
He was still a member, right? He was still a member of the New England Patriots. They could have done it on that day off on Tuesday. Why didn't they do it? Because they didn't believe she was a credible, story, that her story was not credible? I don't know. But you're going to keep him in limbo, and you're right. It's best for the NFL. But the Players Association should be all over this because it's not fair. You have to sit and interview him. And you have to determine one way or the other whether this is worthy of keeping him on the exempt list, if this is a serious case or not.
But I think they still have all the leverage and the high ground on the fact that, listen, we're not done yet.
Yeah, but it's not fair.
Hey, well, you got to make a decision.
What do you mean they're not done? They didn't interview him.
Well, we're not done yet. Well, we still have to talk to, you know, Jill and Jack and Glenn and Lou, and, you know, they're not being very cooperative.
No, the first two you talked to is her and him.
Okay.
They haven't talked to him.
It sounds easy. I just feel like
it is easy.
I feel like he should do it. I feel like he should sue them. He should sue the league, because I'm all about player rights. And I feel like, it's despite of the fact that I don't like him, I still feel like he needs to. They're doing him a disservice, almost scaring other teams away. Now behind the scenes, they're back channeling, and probably every owner that is thinking about signing him probably calls the league and says, "Should I be worried? What else is out there? How did that interview go? Are you guys going to suspend him?
If they had just suspended him, he might still be a member of the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, if they just came out, like we kept talking about that first game against Miami, and it was like the league should do something now. You know, I felt like they should have. But I also admit that if I'm Brady, if I'm Belichick, rather, and the league doesn't do anything, then you play him. But if the league had done something, let's say they suspended him. All right, then what do we get from the Patriots? Well, I don't know. It's out of our hands. He's suspended. You know, we'll see. You know, maybe it's 6 weeks. I don't know. We'll see in six. We'll reevaluate it. Would he still be a member of this team? Or would he have a job? I mean, there's guys around this league that are getting jobs and knowing there's a suspension coming, right? Kareem Hunt's out in Cleveland. He can't play to what? Week 8, week 10, whatever the hell it is. I don't even
know. 9, I think.
Yeah. So
8 weeks suspension.
You know, if they just suspended him the beginning, at least now you got an end game. You know exactly when it's going to end. Whether you're the Patriots and you see that text and you say, nope, we don't want anything to do with them, or if you're another team that says, hey, you know, it ends week 10, we can bring them back. But right now it's just, so the guy's a whack job. You know, I think he did it all to himself, but it seems like they got to do something with him, though. Put him on some kind of list.
What if everything is inconclusive? Whether everything they found, they really don't have an answer one way or another. It's all muddled. So they have to make a decision. Maybe they don't do anything. Hey, sign them at your own risk. I can't help you. Well, yeah, but we want to make sure we don't pay this guy. And then we don't have any answers for you yet.
No, I think what the league is saying, Christian, and you were right initially. The league is playing it because it's the safest way for them to play it. But what they're saying right now is he's not a member of the National Football League, so there's no reason for us to sit down and interview him now. But they had an opportunity to interview him the week he was a member of the New England Patriots, and they decided not to, which to me is a red flag. Why didn't you? You interviewed her on Monday. If she gave you any evidence that something really bad happened, how is he not in on Tuesday, Wednesday, teleconference, something, nothing? And then the Patriots released him for a totally different reason, for a text that came out on a Thursday that week. So now he's not on an NFL team, so the NFL is sticking by the guidelines, saying he's not on the NFL team. We're not going to do anything.
Yeah, we don't have
to. You know, and right, they don't have to.
You have to release a statement regarding Antonio Brown.
So what's happening is, because of the league's actions, nobody is touching him because of what Lou said. They don't want to pay him when he may be going on an exempt list.
But hold on, but do you think it's because they haven't publicly said something about him? Do you think the owners don't talk to Goodell?
No,
like talk to him.
No, I think
Goodell works for the owners.
They're using a technicality. He's not in the NFL. There's no reason. We can't put somebody on the exempt list who's not in the National Football League.
They're blackballing them.
They are.
Sue them. Sue.
Blackballing them. Hey, call Kaepernick. Get together.
Blackballing them. What they're doing to AB isn't right.
By the way, the latest poll, we did a poll last week because we've been doing this back and forth, and it changes depending on where the laundry is flowing that week. So if you remember the last poll we did on OMF, and we got like 4,000 votes here, they didn't want AB. After seeing, this was the question last week in our poll, Friday, I believe, right, guys? After seeing Josh Gordon go down, do you want the Patriots to bring back Antonio Brown? 4,200 votes. Yes, bring AB back, 58%.
Yeah.
No, don't need the headache, 42%.
Yeah, it would be more, like 60-40, right? 55-45, in that range. Yep. Whereas before, it's 80-20 either way.
Yeah, most people are feeling a lot easier, and at least their moral compass has changed based on the fact that when they see, who's out there at receiver. Their mood changes. You know what's important to them changes.
Well, it's like a day-to-day poll, though, because then you watch it. Who are you worried about? Kansas City. Then you watch Kansas City lose last night. So if you're writing that poll again, I bet you people will be like, you don't need them. You see Kansas City the other night?
Crazy.
You don't need them.
They're crazy.
You need a tackle and a tight end so you can run it right through them. That's all you need.
Yeah, one of these Sundays you're going to see a real bump in the road here, and you're going to sit there and say, oh, we need them. But I think people are looking at it saying, we may be tight for money to be able to make a deal to get one of these guys, and you're already paid this guy $5 million for this year, $4 million for next year, total of $9 million. You could get him to come back. He wants to come back right now. Maybe you could do a veteran minimum deal like this Ben Watson deal.
We keep revisiting.
You bring him
this
back,
thing.
And
we keep revisiting this. It's not. There's no way. There's no possible way that he can come back.
That's
none.
I would agree with you.
None.
I don't see how they bring him back. But when you look at this. That's their best solution. If you're trying to fix what's broken.
No, it isn't, though. Because to me, it's not an option. Like, once they decided to walk away from him, they removed that as an option. So thinking about it and hoping.
And it worked away from Ben Watson. They brought him back.
Well, they always left the door open for him.
Yeah. This is a little bit different. But it is the answer. If you're looking for, you need that player who's going to change your offense right now, and you've already paid him all the money.
It's not the answer.
It does fit from that respect.
The answer is able to practice
today.
The real answer is allowed to practice today.
Ooh, let's get into that. Let's get into that.
Do you know who that guy is?
Yeah, I do.
N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
Let's get into that.
And already I didn't like the answer by Belichick this morning. Already puts a red flag up for me. Manuel Sanders, by the way, got hurt in the game yesterday. Did you see that?
Knock him out.
Little knee issue. But the Falcons lost a tight one.
Yeah.
Opens the door.
Yeah.
Opens the door for a couple options.
What happened to the Falcons dynasty we heard so much about?
About 8 months.
What happened to that? What happened to that?
It died.
It all dissolved. It just went poof. By the way, their biggest problem?
Do Falcons do?
They have no defense. They have no defense.
Wait a second. What about all those young players that I heard about?
What about the coach they brought in that was supposed to be a defensive genius? Remember that?
Dan Quinn wasn't a defensive genius? Michael Bennett.
All right, we'll get to the phone calls. 617-779-7937. It is Patriots Monday. Coming up next, somebody's coming back this week. Bill Belichick said something a little bit strange, though, this morning regarding that player. We get to it. We get to the phone calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
I mean, you're talking about 6-7 weeks of N'Keal Harry being gone. He's going to just show up week 7 to practice. Week 8, we can play week 9. And it's all of a sudden going to just work?
We'll see.
Trust them? They got at Houston. They got Dallas. They got Kansas City. You're talking about the 5 toughest games on this schedule, and you think he's going to just throw him in and trust him in those ball games? He's going to ghost
him.
Well,
we're not. Oh, first of all, you're out of your mind.
Ghost
him. He's going to get ghosted.
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 What is ghosted?
Ghosted and roasted.
Ghosted. Okay.
You don't know what ghosted is?
Yeah, I do.
Get with the times.
N'Keal Harry returns to practice this week. But if you listen to Bill Belichick, and we'll talk to him in the 5 o'clock hour live here in Foxborough, he didn't give like an endorsement that he's really ready physically to go out there and do anything.
So we're at the six-week mark since N'Keal Harry went on IR. So I guess the opportunity is there this week, possibly start him practicing. Do you guys plan to do that with him this week?
If he's ready, yes.
Okay. And how, I know it's hard to know. I mean, I don't know how is he doing? I mean, in terms of progressing.
We hope he'll be ready to go.
You said if he's ready, you're hoping he'll be able to practice. Is that readiness, is it a physical readiness that you're looking for, or is it more of a mental side?
Yeah. No, I mean, mentally, he's been able to keep up with everything. It's, you know, just physically, if he's, you know, needs to be able to show that he can go out there and, you know, participate competitively and at the practice level that we're at. Hopefully that's where it'll be, but we'll make our final evaluations on that before we put him out there.
All right, so in other words, he goes to meetings, he's around, he's been around. Mentally, he's up to date with everything that they're doing through 6 weeks. But physically, can you just plop him in there?
Okay, but he's going to have two weeks. He's been rehabbing. So now that he's been cleared to practice, which he's basically, okay, so fine. So he practices for 2 weeks.
Right.
So if you can't tell in 2 weeks, I think you'll be able to know after the first day. I think he goes out there and just straight, he's playing on the scout team, and he just dominates the defense.
Sometimes,
yeah, that's what I think he does.
Sometimes
Gilmore, get over here.
Sometimes
come on,
you can read between the lines with Bill. Usually in something like that, Bill says nothing. I thought it was interesting that he brought up the physical aspect of it.
But isn't it, physically, can he practice and compete? So if he's just rehabbing, I mean, forget about rehabbing. If he's just practicing and running routes on air with a trainer or a strength coach, it's completely different than him having to adjust on the fly with, you know, with a real game-like situation.
I think the bye week helps. That will help because basically he'll be able to come back week 9, and then there's a bye. So he'll basically have 4 weeks. You know, to practice. Maybe he plays in that Baltimore game. Maybe they activate him. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Maybe they get him ready for week 11. But they'll have 4 weeks to kind of get going. Now, you mentioned that. Like, so does he go up against the number one defense?
If he's a scout team, yeah. He'll go against Gilmore and McCourty and
so you think he's gonna
Jonathan Jones.
Think he's going to show well against Gilmore?
I think he'll show well against everybody, yeah. I think he points out Gilmore, says, hey, get over here. Get over here, a little one-on-one. No, I do think
okay, but that
usually,
might be like, yeah, he, just because he can't beat Gilmore one-on-one and get separation, are we going to sit there and say that, you know, we don't think he can play?
Listen, I'm
kidding. The best corner in football.
I'm kidding, but the fact is that he's going to go out there and he's going to stand out. He's going to go out there on scout team and he's going to stand out.
Hopefully for the good reasons.
What would be a bad reason?
Have you studied the playbook while you've been away at all? Going left and we should be going right.
But he's going cards. He's not even doing the plays. He's going to be playing, the New York Jets of receivers. He's not doing any of the Patriots routes. That's what he's doing. They may throw him in there every now and then, but they don't have enough time for him to give up reps of all the other receivers who need it, like the Jacoby Myers and the Olszewskis, because those are the guys that have to play. So they can't miss out on those opportunities because they're too green themselves. So I know you guys think that he's not going to be an impact player. You just said it yourself. How many weeks before? So he's going to have one game.
So he's got two weeks and then one game.
Right.
That's camp. That is the entire length of training camp.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you guys think
because
that he cannot at least go out and line up and run some routes. I mean, what do you think he's doing over these past like 6 weeks? What do you think he's been doing?
He's been hanging out in Cabo,
twiddling his thumbs.
I'm very
him and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, he's hanging out in Cabo.
You guys don't give him enough credit. I don't understand why nobody gives him any credit.
I don't. A rookie who gets injured. No, I think it's a very difficult time for them to come back, pick up in the middle of the season.
But
I think it's difficult.
But again, What are your expectations? What do you expect him to do? Well, what do you want him to do?
Well, they need a lot out of him. That's the problem.
In the beginning, that's not going to happen. So okay. If you're going to slow feed him, then what do you want?
I think you activate him against Baltimore. You get him a few snaps, throw the ball a couple times. You get him ready for November 17th against Philly. That would be the goal after the bye week. So now you're talking about 1 month. 1 month. And you mentioned that's like a camp. So you got 1 month to get this guy ready for November 17th, week 11.
It's almost too much time.
One month.
It's too much time. You're going to be wasting.
I'm not sure Brady would agree with
that. Is he better than Olszewski? Stupid question.
He's a better receiver than those guys.
Yes, he's better.
But is he up to the same level, the pace of what those guys are up to? Around every week.
The only guy that they cannot replace. If you said, "Hey, Nikhil, I want you to take Julian's spot. You're going to run his routes, and then you got to be the next Julian."
We know that's
it's not happening.
Can't do that.
Can he do what?
No, but he better
Myers
be better
did?
Than Gunner. He better be better than Jacoby.
May have to replace Gordon's.
Listen, if they're in the same spot they're in now, then you're throwing them to the fire, with Jacoby Myers, Gunner, and Edelman. But you would hope by, in a couple of weeks, and we don't know what's going on. But, if you're able to play Edelman, Gordon, and Philip Dorsett, I want him to be better than those other two guys.
Here's the thing. Think about what Jacoby Myers.
And I would ask you, is he?
Nikhil Harry?
Yeah, is he better than, because I don't care. He better than Jacoby Myers, and he better be better than Gunner. But is he better than Josh Gordon?
I think he will be.
Well, then
yeah.
He better be.
But by the time the season's over, I'm not a fan of Josh Gordon, so that should not be a surprise to you.
Right.
But look at Jacoby Meyer. Let's just think about the balls that he caught. He caught a seam route, nice pass, back shoulder throw, had to adjust to it, big catch. A deep crossing route, great catch, but that was just him being an athlete. The only guy that has really hard routes where you really have to be in tune with Brady is Edelman.
Right.
The option routes, the return routes. James White, same thing, taking it high as opposed to taking it low. So, but his routes are not going to be, difficult.
Yeah, I think you have far too many high expectations.
I'm actually tempering my expectations.
I don't
going,
hear that.
If he gets – can he not do what Jacoby Myers did? Is that not tempering your – That's it. That's level 100 stuff.
He got 4 targets. He had 4 catches last week. I'm not sure.
He was good.
He should be.
He was
good. There's no question. He was obvious where he was drafted. He should be better, but I'm not sure that's the case. I hope you're not thinking that that's going to be the answer without getting external help, because they have to get external help. Doesn't look like Stephon Diggs is going anywhere.
Here's what you hope in the next 2 weeks, Christian, and this is where you might be onto it, is that Brady is sitting there throwing the ball. Dorsett's hurt, and he's throwing the ball to Myers, and he's throwing the ball to Gunner, And all of a sudden, here comes this kid, Nikhil Harry, and he just sees a couple of catches. And he sees, what he's like physically, the ability he has. And he falls in love with it, like he did with Josh Gordon last year when he showed up, given what he had around him, was like, oh, my God, this guy is so much better than what I have. I'm going to start feeding him the ball. And hopefully Nikhil Harry shows the same thing in the next couple of weeks to Tom Brady, I have to get him involved because he is physically that much better than everybody else I am trying to throw the football to. I hope Brady realizes that.
See, I see
that. And works with him because, as he said, I can't help him, he can't help me. He doesn't want to worry about people, but hopefully he worries about this kid.
And I see them, so if I have a great athlete, how do I get him the ball? I just want to get the ball in his hands. So I'll do some reverses, I'll do a missile screen, I'll do plays that have a high level of success and a low level of, defeat or whatever
difficult.
You want to call it. Difficulty, yes, thank you. So I give him reverses, I give him missile screens, I give him go routes, I give him corner routes. Hey, when should I – just run a corner. I've been running a corner since you were 10. I want to just run a vertical. Well, do I read the safeties? No, just run a vertical. That's it. Run a dig. All these are really, really simple. Hey, can you block this guy? He's 50 pounds less than you. The answer is yes.
Do they still need to make a deal?
They still need another body.
And it's getting much more difficult. Stephon Diggs, who had a big game, does not look like he's going anywhere.
That was a pipe dream anyways. That wasn't happening.
Okay.
Nobody.
All right.
That.
Emmanuel Sanders had an injury yesterday. We don't know how bad it is. So, I don't know. Was Lombardi onto something Friday when he brought up Mohamed Sanu?
Probably.
Did he know something? Did he know something either out of Atlanta, because he knows those people well, New England?
Or is he just looking at the profiles of the teams and just making an educated decision?
But Atlanta's in trouble. There's no question. They got to do something.
I think Mikey Reese in his Sunday notes He just says, I'll just throw this trade out there for you. And he threw out a trade, Michael Bennett for Sanu, straight up.
Yeah.
And at first, he's sitting there saying, well, why would Atlanta want to do that? If they're going to trade away Sanu, do they really want Michael Bennett back?
Because they have a surplus at one position and a hole at the other position.
Well, the other question I would have is, first off, Bennett is under contract for next year, right? So Quinn is there. I don't know how long he's going to be there. I don't know if he'll be there that long. They work together in Seattle. But the question is, if you're going to trade Mohamed Sanu, if you're the Falcons, what are you going to get in return? Realistically, if it's just a draft pick, what would you get for Mohamed Sanu? Which is a sixth?
Probably a fifth or would you get sixth, a fifth? Something like maybe.
So I would just ask, would you rather have a sixth round pick, maybe a seventh if there's no interest? I don't know.
If you're the Falcons.
If you're the Falcons, or would you rather have Michael Bennett, you know, for the rest of this year and next year?
It's not guaranteed next year.
Yeah, but I would just say, yeah. You know, it's not like you're going to get a third round pick for Mohamed Sanu and you're sitting there saying, why the hell would I want Michael Bennett? But if I'm going to get a sixth round pick, would I rather have a sixth round pick that may not make my team, or a guy that I can have play defensive end in a 4-3 for the next year and a half?
Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was kind of interesting. And Bennett obviously is getting less playing time, so it makes some sense. But I think they've got to do something at that receiver, and I would not depend on N'Keal Harry. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's going to come in here. Maybe he's going to be
they
fine.
I'm still sticking to it. They need another body.
Right. All right, let's get some phone calls. Here's Mike in Beverly. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's your take on the slowdown and the stoppage in the game all the time? I mean, yesterday Andy Reid used his challenge flag to put a non-PI call, and he lost his timeout. I mean, it seems like every play there's a flag on. It's getting almost impossible to watch.
Oh, it's sports dying. Tough watch.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the Kansas City-Houston game.
That was a complete joke, referees.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys see that play early on? Because I don't know, he said Andy Reid for the PI. I think Billy O called it one that wasn't called. The offensive pass interference from Kelsey.
Yep.
You know, on the pick play that went to Williams. And that first drive, it was like third down, long pass to Williams. You know, it was a clear pick from Kelsey. They reviewed it. They don't call it. The very next play, they call offensive pass interference on Kelsey. And I don't know what the hell he did. He tried to get off of, like, the jam at the line and then went to break, and a guy held him, and they called offensive pass interference on Kelsey.
And they picked up the flag because they claimed that the ball wasn't going to him.
Oh, no, that was the other one.
No, that was,
the interception.
Oh, okay. There was, like, a series of events.
Yeah. That's one that Florio talked about, yes. How, like, there was something shady being done. I don't know. They got the call. They just screwed up on that play. There was an interception in the end zone. They called pass interference, but it wasn't on the guy that they threw the ball to. They called pass interference underneath with Kelsey, but you can't call pass interference because they're not throwing him the ball. So they screwed up. They should have immediately called defensive holding first down, and that was the right call. But the minute they called pass interference, they screwed that thing up.
Yeah.
They
picked up the flag. So instead of Kansas City catching a break and having a new set of downs, they don't get anything from whatsoever.
Well, they get a turnover.
Yeah, it was a big play in the game. So here's the problem. What you're finding out right now is the Mike Pereiras and these other guys, the ex-officials who are now TV analysts, for the first time, they are disagreeing with the calls on the field on a regular basis. You're seeing a lot of it where they sit there and tell you one thing.
They're disagreeing with the replay official.
The replay official.
Not just the official on the
field. So I'm convinced that this is all a scam. So what the league did is they looked at the case in New Orleans last year in the NFC Championship. And what they're basically telling you is, we're waiting for a catastrophe once again. If we don't get a catastrophe, then we're going to leave the call on the field as it was called. We're not going to overturn it. So then why did you put this stupid-ass rule in if you're waiting for a catastrophe? It's ridiculous.
The Saints were upset.
That's right.
So the Saints were upset, so they want to sit there. I just hand you that, but it's – I don't know if you want to read it real quick. You want to read it when you come back.
We'll read it when we come back.
Okay. All right, good.
All right, we'll get into it because it's really – right now – it was a stupid rule that they put in there. It made absolutely no sense because you can tell they don't want to overturn any of this stuff, even though your eyes tell you, and certainly Al Riveron is looking at it in the monitors, that is pass interference or it's not pass interference. Mm-hmm. They don't care. They're not going to overturn it. They're waiting for the catastrophe. This hour sponsored by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.